paid the price to redeem us, to yourself, to be with you. Well, thank you that we can come to you this morning and ask you to lead us. Lead us on your way of life. Lead us closer to you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and open our eyes of our understanding. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Not just intellectually, Lord, but we pray spiritually, Lord, that you will open our hearts to receive, to understand, to know, and to follow you. Thank you, God, that we can trust you, that all your ways are true and leads to life. So we ask for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you here this morning. We are continuing on the Sermon on the Mount. If you're here for the very first time, we've been journeying with Jesus on his very popular and well-known sermon. Well, I won't say popular, very well-known. Reading through and listening to Jesus' words are very, very challenging, especially for us in this modern age that we live in. It's been challenging 2,000 years ago, and it's still challenging to this day. And I have realized that the only way we can accept Jesus' words is if we first accept who he is. We first have to accept that Jesus is God before we can accept what he said. Otherwise, it would be very difficult. Because what he challenges us with is so contrary to what our mind and our flesh and our desires wants and our reason is, we have to first and foremost accept who Jesus is before we can accept what he said. Jesus continues to teach very challenging realities, not just in the sermon, but throughout his ministry. And many decide not to accept his words or to follow him only up to a point, when the application and the implication of his words are just too much. And so we see that throughout Jesus' life on the earth, that many followed him up to a point until what he said was just too offensive, too difficult to understand, or the implication too hard to bear. But for those who continue to follow him, not because just of what he said, but because of who he is, they gained eternal life. It reminds me of John 6, verse 76. I quote it so often when Jesus spoke to, again, a crowd that wanted to make him king, was so passionate about him, when Jesus turned around and said, "But unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." And it offended many. And many of his disciples followed him no longer. And then in verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away? Is this also too hard for you? Is this too deep for you? Is the consequence too great for you?" And then Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I really want to pray and trust that we will do what Jesus says, not because it makes sense or because it's reasonable in our perspective or in our time, but that we will do what Jesus says because he is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God himself. And only his words leads to eternal life. And so I want us to start this morning also with that same perspective. We have been following Jesus' sermon on the Mount, as I mentioned, and now we've come to the conclusion of his sermon. Just like any good preacher, when he says, "In conclusion," it's not 5 minutes. So Jesus starts with his conclusion, but it is going to be about 4 or 5 sermons. I'm only going to do the introduction of Jesus' conclusion, and Pastor Vanner will continue. This is the starting point of his conclusion, and I really want to encourage you to continue to read at home as Jesus builds on these two verses. He's making a statement, a profound statement, and then he builds on this statement. And this morning, I'm just going to look at the opening statement, and Pastor Vanner will continue with what Jesus builds on it. I want us to read Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Father, we pray this morning that you will come and open our hearts and minds to your truth. Help us, Lord, not just to understand, but give us the grace to trust and to follow you and live this out in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very challenging statement that Jesus is saying. There's five things that I want us to focus on that Jesus said. The next slide. Jesus said the following things. He said, we must enter through the narrow gate. He's speaking figurative language. Okay, we're going to expand on what did Jesus mean with this narrow gate. But Jesus starts off his conclusion with the plea to enter through the narrow gate. And then he explains what does he mean with the narrow gate. And that's why it's important that you must continue to read as well in preparation for the conclusion. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Secondly, he says, there are only two roads in life. Here comes the challenging bit. There's only two roads in life, and there are only two destinations. One leads to destruction, and many are on it. And the other one leads to life, but only a few find it. This is very challenging. This is how Jesus starts off his conclusion. What can we learn from this? What Jesus is saying is life is a journey. Every one of us in this life is on a journey. We are either on one road that leads to destruction, or we're on a road that leads to life. Everyone on this life is on a path. That's why Jesus starts with the plea that we will choose the right one. Because there are only two you are on. You're either on the one or the other. There aren't many roads leading to the same place. There is no neutrality. You're either on the one or the other. Therefore, Jesus pleads with us, make the right choice. Choose life. Jesus is saying there are only two roads with two very distinct destinations. Some say it's a fork in the road. No, it's more like a T-junction. The one is going south to destruction, and the other one is going north to eternal life. If I can use that analogy. Also, Jesus is saying there's no neutrality. Not making a decision is making a decision. You can't be neutral in this life. You're either following Christ or you're following the devil. You're either still in your sin or you've been forgiven of your sin. There is no neutrality in this life, Jesus says. There's only two paths. And even more controversial today, all roads do not lead to the same God. Many would like to believe, but there are different ways, different roads that leads to the same destination. Jesus says, no, there's only two roads. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 3, the last verse in John 3 is, if you have the Son, you have eternal life. But if you do not have the Son, you remain under God's wrath. That's why Jesus says, you must go through the narrow gate. Otherwise, you're going through destruction. And so Jesus challenged us with these realities. Jesus says it requires a clear decision that we need to make on which one of the two roads we'll be traveling. Not making a choice is also a choice because there is no neutrality. Because we're all born in sin and our sinful nature will lead us on the popular way. If you make no decision, your own desires will lead you on the popular easy way, which Jesus says is very broad, very easy, and many are on it. So if you don't make a decision, you will naturally do what everybody else does. And Jesus says, you've already made your decision. And so we have to make a decision. Life is a journey. That is why Jesus later on said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that we know so well, he says, Nicodemus, do not be surprised if I say to you, you must be born again. Because whatever is born of flesh is flesh. You are born in sin, controlled by a sinful nature, and you will do whatever it desires and it will lead to death. Therefore, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must enter through the small gate, the narrow gate. That decision will not only determine the path that we're on, but also our destination. One of the paths leads to destruction and the other one leads to life. That is why Jesus starts off with this plea. Choose the narrow gate. That reminds me of God's word in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. When God said to Israel, I put heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. That you and your offspring may live. We have a choice which path we're on. Another challenging thing is that most people choose the wrong path. Most people are on the highway going to destruction. And so often we pray that the entire Hermanus will be saved and we trust in God for revival. And there can be pockets of revival where great percentages of towns and communities turn to the Lord. But the reality of life is most people in this town will not follow Jesus. They will choose not to. And God is pleading with us, choose me. Choose life. Do not follow the rest of the world. Do not follow the rest of the world. Follow me. The popular road that most are on, we see in the media, we see in our culture, we see everywhere around us how people are led astray by their own desires and their own needs. The reason why so many is on it, Jesus said, because the gate is wide and the road is broad. Because it's easy and popular. And most of the world is on it. When you switch on the TV, when you listen to the news, when you surf the internet, you will see where the world is going. And it is popular. Most likes, most followers, it's easy to go there. It's easy to see where the world is going. It is easy and popular, and most of the world is on it. It is easy to enter and broad to travel on it. You can do whatever you want on this highway. If you go this way, it is so broad, you can do whatever you want, whatever you desire. You are in control. You decide what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. It's popular. It's easy. Who doesn't want to be on that road? The alternative, however, the gate is very small and the road is narrow. A small gate means you need to look for it, search for it to find it. It's not obvious, the small gate. You can't go through this gate by accident, by chance. You need to spot it and think about this gate, because it is so small, you will probably need to let go of certain things to enter in it. This broad gate, you don't need to change. And you can do whatever you want, but if you want to go through the small gate, you need to stop. You need to identify it, think about it, count the cost, and probably squeeze through it. Humble yourself to get through this gate. And when you get to the other side, it is completely different to the highway. It's a very narrow road. The New King James and the NIV says it is a difficult and hard road. But in the context of a broad one, it's a narrow one. And you can't do whatever you want on this narrow difficult road. You can't just turn off to the left or the right. You have to follow the way. You can't do what you want. Not only do you need to follow the narrow road, you also need to follow the guide. There, you need a guide to walk this road because you can't do it in your own strength. It's a difficult, hard road to walk in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. And you can't do whatever you want on this road. You need a guide. You can't do whatever you want and you can't lead by yourself. Someone else needs to lead you. And so few find it and stay on it. The road is narrow. The popular road needs no deliberate choice to enter and no restraint while you're on traveling about. Yet, it leads to destruction. It reminds me of God's word in Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The challenging thing is Jesus said, most will choose to remain on it. Here in Luke 13 verse 22 to 27, Jesus says the following. And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And then one of them said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Why is that? Why will they not be able to enter? Because as you follow your path, it will lead to its destination. And once you get there, there's no turning back. This path that you're on, whether it leads to life or whether it leads to destruction, you need to decide before you get to the destination which one you're on. You can't wait until the end and then decide, oh, I want to turn to the Lord. It's too late. Let's read further on. Jesus says here from verse 44 of 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter it and not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door and saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. He will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where do you come from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. How is it that many will try to enter in the end and not be able? Because the path leads to a destination. And there's something else. You see, the popular road is broad. You can do whatever you want and what your flesh desires. But here's the alternative. The alternative is you can't do what you want and you cannot do it in your own strength. You have to follow a guide. You have to follow a guide. And as you follow the guide, you get to know the guide and the guide gets to know you. And when you get to the destination, you know each other very well. But if you don't follow the guide and you get to your destination, you turn around to the guide and you ask him to come in, he will tell you, who are you? Where do you come from? I don't know you. You were never following me. And so, we read in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 17, I say to you, walk by the Spirit and not by your own desire. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. You see, on this road you can do whatever you want, but if you follow the guide, you must stick to the guide. You must follow him.
You see, the road, the broad road, we lead ourselves and we do whatever we want. The narrow road, we are led. We are led by God's Spirit. We need a guide to walk this road, and He leads us. He leads us in the ways of righteousness. And we are Spirit-governed, not self-governed. On the broad way, we govern ourselves, but in the narrow way, we are governed by the Spirit. We read this in Romans 8 so powerfully. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Another challenging thing that Jesus says is that both of these journeys starts with the gate. The broad gate, anyone can enter naturally without even thinking about it. But the small gate, you need to consider the cost. Count the cost before you enter it. Because it's going to cost you something. You got to surrender self. Self-governance. You need to bow your knee and make God king of your life. And then follow Him. So what is the small gate? Jesus said the following in John 10 verse 9. I am the door. I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved. The door is accepting Jesus as Lord. You've got to stop. You've got to think. You've got to count the cost. You've got to surrender your life. You can't just enter this door by chance. It is a decision that will change your life. It will not just change your life, it will change the direction of your life. It is accepting Jesus as Lord. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the only guide to the Father. You have to follow me. And when anyone accepts Jesus as Lord, he will be saved. But anyone who goes through that door needs to follow the path. We can't go through the gate and then go back to the highway. It doesn't work like that. The challenging thing is, Jesus says, not everyone who thinks they are on the path of life is actually on it. Then Jesus continues to say, there are even some who claim to be prophets and leaders on this path, claiming to help you on the way, but they are false imposters. Next week, we're going to continue reading about Jesus says, just as a teaser, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they rear as wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Later on, he even says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And they will say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy your name, did miracles in your name, did great wonders in your name? Jesus said, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you because you were not following me. I was not your guide. Someone else was leading you, and it wasn't me. How is this possible? Because once you enter through the gate, you need to stay on the path. How do we stay on the path? We follow the guide. We follow the guide. You're either going to follow the Spirit or you're going to follow the flesh. Once you go through that gate, follow the guide. Here's the most significant reality about this way of life. Once you're on the path, wait for it, stay on it. Does it make sense? Once you're on the path, stay on it. Once you're on it, follow the guide. As you follow the guide, you will stay on it. But you have to check in with Him. How do we stay on the path? How do we know that we know that we know Him? 1 John 2 says, if we keep His commandments, This is the amazing thing what God has given us with His Spirit. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Spirit to live in you, be with you, and I through Him will be with you always. And He will remind you of everything that I've taught you. And this is the amazing thing. Every morning, we need to check in to make sure that we are still on the path. You see, in this world, there are just so many voices. You need to accept Jesus as Lord. In other words, He is King, He is owner, He is master, He has absolute dominion arising from ownership. He bought my life. He paid with His blood to redeem me. I belong to Him and not to myself. He is my Lord, my King. And I do what He says, not what the world says. And not what I think, but what He thinks. That's the first step. Secondly, what is so amazing is He is also our Savior. Jesus is not just our Lord, He's also our Savior. What does that mean? It means Jesus is the one that came to the world while I was still on the road of destruction, and He made a new way possible for whosoever wants to get off this road onto the road of eternal life. And what He did is He paved the way Himself. He came and He walked that road. He was the pathfinder, the road builder. He walked it all the way by Himself, perfectly to the Father, and then came back to pay the price for every single one who chooses to go through that path. The moment you go through that path, you know what is so amazing? You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to be perfect to be on the narrow way. Because somebody went before you who was perfect, who paid the price for you so that you can remain on this road even if you fall. That's the amazing thing about God's grace. Even if we fall, He has already paid for our sin to redeem us and to pick us up and to say, come on, you can finish it. You can do this. And so we can walk this road with great confidence because our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is in Christ who paid the price for us. We are clothed with His perfection, justified by His sacrifice, His blood, and He leads us by His Spirit. And so powerfully, He says, I'm with you always. So He's not just my Lord, He's my Savior. He's the one that gone before me. He's the one that paid the price for me. He's the one that perfected me on this journey. And as I continue to follow Him as my guide, I become more and more like Him. Because I know Him and He knows me. And when I get to the destination, He will know who I am. And I will know who He is. And I will not be afraid because I've been following Jesus. He gave His life to save us. And if we choose to trust Him as Lord and Savior, we enter through the small gate, forsaking all else. We follow His ways because we love Him and we want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And in doing so, we are led by the Spirit, the path of life. But we need to stay on the path. We need to stay on the path. So how do we stay on the path? How do we know that we're still on it? Well, we follow the guide, the Spirit, and we follow the markers, the Word. I remember when I was still doing mountain biking and so many stage races that went on for 7-8 days over hundreds of kilometers through mountains and the Alps, and I did the Transalps, and it was amazing to go through the Alps and to see how the little villages where you start become so small as you gain altitude, and you're in this amazing environment of going over the peaks of different Alps and the French and the Italian and the German side and the Switzerland and Austria. And I've been to so many amazing places. But you know what? I still have a cold sweat nightmare from time to time as I'm thinking about racing and missing the marker. You see, all those very remote routes that they take us on are marked by normally a chevron tape along the way. So every so many meters, there's a little chevron tape to tell you that you're still on the right path. And I have nightmares riding and missing the mark on a road going to nowhere. And I remember doing the Transalp once. We were close to the end of the one day, and I was in a group with lots of Germans and Swiss and Italians. We were about 10 in total, and we were racing. We were chasing the leaders, and we were going up the mountain, and then there was a single track that turned 90 degrees to the right. But the sign fell over, and we didn't see it. So we were going straight on, up the mountain again. And then like the third time I'm going up this mountain. And as we were going, you know, I'm from Africa, so I can spoorsnay, you know, I can track. So we're going up here, and I'm like, hey, guys, you know, are we still on the right track? Yeah. But, you know, I don't see many mountain bike tracks here. No, right track. Let's go. So we're going. And then I'm like, looking again, I'm like, guys, really? Are we on? Yes. Yeah. And then later on, finally, we all realized, no, nine. We have to turn around. We are on the wrong road. We missed the markers. There are no longer markers along the way. So we're clearly on the wrong way. So we had to turn around, cycle all the way back, and lost a lot of positions because we missed the mark. You know what is the mark in my life? It's the Bible. That's why I have to read it every day. I have to read it every day to make sure I'm still on the right path. And that's why I need the guide, the Holy Spirit that's in me. That's why I need time to meditate and to pray and to ask God to speak to me to make sure that I'm still on the right path. Because we go astray so easily. That's why the Lord calls us sheep. We go astray so easily. And so God has given us His Word. And He's given us His Spirit. And I want to encourage you to daily spend time with the Lord to make sure that you're still on the right path. And He will speak to you and He will guide you. Are we still being led by the Holy Spirit? Or are we following what is popular? Are we doing what the world decides to be right and acceptable? Or are we doing what God says is right and acceptable? Are we reading the Word or are we only reading the world? Who are we listening to? Who determines what we do and what we think? Is someone else leading us? Or is it the Holy Spirit and His Word? Someone is leading. Who is that someone in your life? Is it the Spirit or is it the flesh? Let's do course correction every day. Let's focus on being led. Let's read, listen, and pray and live according to it. It's almost like our sat-nav, you know. We all have these things. Back in the day when we were in London, we had an A to Z. Who still remembers what an A to Z is? Anybody? Yeah. Hallelujah. Many marriage problems because of that book. But anyway, don't worry. I won't use that analogy. You don't know what I'm talking about. Sat-nav. Now, we all have sat-nav. Have you ever gone on your sat-nav and then zoomed out to look at all the alternative routes and destinations and then lost your little red car? You know your red car. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I've got a green bucky. My kids hate it, but I've got a green bucky. But we normally have a little red car that follows the blue route. Yeah? But if you zoom out of it and you look at all the other destinations, you get lost because you don't know where you are. You still know there's a blue route, but you can't see yourself on it. And then from time to time, you need to press that button. Who've done that before? Anybody? Yeah, you press that button, what happens? It takes you back to where you are on the right route. And you can navigate again with confidence. And so too for us as believers, from time to time, we have to recenter ourselves. And we do it every day. I want to encourage you to do it every day. Recenter yourself. Go back to the Word. Go back to the Holy Spirit. Because in this world, you will be given all the gray routes possible. But we are meant to stay on the blue one. Because all the gray ones, they lead to destruction. But the blue one leads to life. So I want us to close our eyes this morning. And I want us to consider God's words. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank you that you've come to give us life, and life is in your Son. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit as a guide to lead us. Thank you that you are the door, you are the way to eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. You have paid the price for our lives, that we may be redeemed, forgiven, accepted, justified in your presence, and that we have an inheritance waiting for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our guide that leads us on our way. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be sensitive to you and to follow you. And while all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you have not yet given your life to God, you have not made a decision yet, a conscious decision to see, to seek, and to go through the small, narrow gate that is Jesus Christ. If you have not yet given your life to Him, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to enter through the gate that will lead you to eternal life. And you can have confidence that through His blood, you are forgiven and you are set for eternal life. If that is you this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to make sure that you're on the path that leads to eternal life, I want to give you an opportunity just where you are while all the eyes are closed. If that is you, I want you to raise your hand. So here I am. I want to choose Jesus. I want to be sure that I'm on the way of life. Is there anybody here this morning? There's one hand. Is there anybody else? I want to give you an opportunity before I go on with the rest of us. I want to ask, Lisa, will you go pray for that lady, please? Other aisle? Beulah, net for Beulah. That lady just in front of you. Yes, will you pray for her? That lady right in front of you, or is it a gentleman? Sorry, I can't see. Beulah, right in front of you. No? No? To your left. Let me help you. Right behind you, Beulah. Turn around. That person. Thank you. Right. For the rest of us. For the rest of us. We're all saved. We've all been through the gate. We've all been through the gate. I want to give you an opportunity while your eyes are closed. Give you an opportunity to recenter your life. Just go to Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting me on the path of life. Thank you for the guide that you've given me. Lord, this morning I want to recenter myself again to put you first, to let you lead. I want you to lead me, Lord. Lead me in my family. Lead me in my business. Lead me in my life. I want to ask you to recenter me, Lord, I ask. So I'm going to give you an opportunity just in your own words, just to speak to the Lord. Allow yourself, your hearts to be recentered again in Jesus. Perhaps you have strayed. It's time to turn. Perhaps you are led by the world. It's time to stop. Perhaps you're on the wrong path. It's time to turn around. Just speak to the Lord. Yes, Father, we thank you this morning. We can just bring our hearts to you. Just recenter ourselves. Just confess you as Lord. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our King. Thank you for your grace, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for saving me. I was lost. I was in a broad way. But you called me from the side. You showed me a gate. A narrow, small one.
And you called me by name. You say, come. Come, I will show you life. I will show you the way to life.
Thank you, Lord, for that day, Lord, when I gave my life to you. When we surrendered everything for you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you have been leading us. And you're calling us again today to follow you, to be led by you. Not just to live by the Spirit, but to walk in step with the Spirit. Every morning, as you speak to us, as you lead us, not just so that we may have life, but that we may know you, that we may know you. God, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to read your word, not just to check where we're at, but to read your word, to know who you are. Help us, Lord, to hear your Spirit, Lord, as you speak to us, as you lead us, as you teach us, as you train us, as you impart yourself into us, preparing us for eternity, for a kingdom that has no end, to rule and to reign with you. You are teaching us, preparing us, everything in life you use, Lord, to teach us. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, not just to look at the path, but to look at the destination. Not to look at the world, but to look at you. Not to look at the world, but to look at heaven. To look at our reward waiting for us and our purpose to be with you. Make us hungry and thirsty, Lord, I pray. Hungry and thirsty for more of you, more of you. Give us grace, Lord, not just to understand the things that you say, but grace to live it, Lord. Let your word and your Spirit change us. Change us to become more like you, Lord. More like you. We want to follow you, Lord. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to do the things that are pleasing in your sight so that you may be glorified, that you may shine through us, Lord, that we may lead others, Lord, who do not know you, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that are still on the broad way, Lord, that are still on the way of destruction, that are blind to see the destination. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and grace to lead others away from this road, to lead them to you, to lead them to the gate. Thank you, Lord, that everyone who enters through the gate will be saved, Lord. Thank you for this great confidence that we have. And so, Lord, we pray for ourselves, but we also pray for those who do not know you. We pray that they will come to know you, Lord. Thank you for this confidence that we have, that this gate, even though it's small and narrow and may cost you, it leads to you. It leads to you. And so we pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we will be ambassadors for you, confident in you, and that many will turn to you. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you as you go and stay on the path. Follow the markers, follow the guide, and let Him teach you to run to the end. Amen. Amen. If you need of prayer, we're going to be here with